Okay, welcome everybody on Zoom and welcome everybody here in person. So we are going to start. We sort of started Chol HaVakum the other day, but not really. I mean, we just sort of like gave an overview of all the basic Chakiras and Afkaminas, but now we're actually, and that wasn't mine. I was just sharing with you from Rav Silverman Sefer, but now we're actually going to go through the Simen and try to bring it down in terms of Halach Lamaisa as well. There are three Si'ifim in Simen Kuf Tes Vav here in Yeridaya, but really there are like three mini Simanim in Simen Kuf Tes Vav. There's one on milk, there's one on cheese, and there's one on butter. The interesting part will be like, where do you put everything else, all other dairy products? You go down the dairy aisle in your local grocery store, and there is not just milk, cheese, and butter. There's also yogurt, there's sour cream, there's cottage cheese, cream cheese. So even though we call cream cheese and cottage cheese, they're not really cheese, meaning they're not at all the same product as, like, let's say, Swiss cheese. They're an entirely different product. So where do they fit in? Are they butter? Are they cheese? Are they milk? And because each of these halachos have different rules. As we will see, milk is asr, chalavakum is asr. Cheese is more chamur than chalavakum in a certain sense. And butter is much more kal than chalav. So there are different rules for all three of these categories. For example, they never made a din of Chalav Yisrael on butter, meaning there is a din of Chalav Yisrael on milk. On butter, they never made such a din. Why did they never make such a din? Meaning the whole discussion of Shulchan Aruch is about minhag. Oh, if they have a minhag like this, so you don't have to yell at them. If they have a minhag to be mekel, you could perhaps be, but some many places have a minhag to be machmir. It's all about minhag. None of it is about halacha. So we started the discussion last time by talking about the Isra of Chalavakum and why it's not an Isra min HaTorah, meaning if the concern really is that there's going to be Chalav Tameh, a Tarovis of Chalav Tameh, which the Gemara went back and forth on, that is that a legitimate concern? Can't you just check it by trying to make cheese out of it and seeing if it works? No, you can't really check it because there's going to be some milk that gets caught between the cracks of the cheese. But at the end of the day, the Gemara says that Chalav Akum is Asr because of the concern of Chalav Tameh. Now, if there's really a concern of Chalav Tameh, so isn't that really just a Safik Daraisa, and Safik Daraisa L'chumra? So meaning is there's a L'chumra should be a legitimate concern that you're in violation of an Issa Daraisa. So yeah?
I don't really understand the question, meaning we have all over Shas, there's a Hashash that there's going
to
be
So what you have to say is that this is not a chashash that would rise to a level of suffix, right? It doesn't even, it's not a reasonable enough chashash to rise to the level of suffix. But nevertheless, when the chashash is that it would be a darai, so when the chashash is that if your fear is true, that it would be a daraisa, so that I think what the shach deals with in Kuf Yud Ches is you should need two chasamas, because what you're messing with is a din daraisa as opposed to something that's purely midrabanan, like bishalakum, for example, which is purely midrabanan. So the shach writes that on a Torah level it's batal anyway, right? On a Torah level, even if there is a taroves of chalav tameh, min b'mino is going to be batal anyway. So the shach writes afal gav the chalav taimo shami yachlif b'chalav tameh shu asum midaraisa k'moshen is vareishim pe'alif. If your chashash is that you're going to switch it out, no, the Gemara tells us there's no concern of switching chalav tameh for chalav tameh, because chalav tameh has a more greenish or cloudy complexion, color to it. Tar chiver tameh yarok vin kain ein lach sheyachlif kol chalav orubo. There's no concern that you're going to switch out either all of it or the majority of it. Ella yesh lach shem hichlif ma'at. The whole concern is a little bit of chalav tameh. So that's only a concern midraban, midaraisa, min b'minos batel, like it says in Simen Sadiches, v'chein tiris prisha, v'chein gavin kosevis v'ad kamal chesov din hay. And then he goes on to say, most milk you can find anyway is kosher, so the whole concern is only concerned midrabanan, which is, you know, to Ephraim's point, that the reason to be concerned about this is only a din midrabanan, meaning in a chinami. Because if your fears are recognized and they're true, it may be a doraisa, but on a doraisa level, you don't have to be concerned about it. But in the first part of the shach, he says that maybe on a doraisa level, the first part he says that midoraisa min b'mido batel. So midoraisa, even if you did have to be concerned about it on a doraisa level, the concern is not, meaning even if the concern were a legitimate concern on a doraisa level, but if the concern were realized, it's still only in a sudrabanan, because min b'mino is batel. So we pointed out last time that that's a chiddush, to say that that's called min b'mino, that it's the chal of tameh and chal of tameh, kosher and non-kosher milk, are called min b'mino. So we pointed out that Rabbi Akiva Eiger over there points out that it seems to be a case of min b'she'eino mino, which should require shishim and not just a rov. And he points out, b'sefer minchas kohen l'menachos, hevi kufshia b'she'im bal eim imi, hagon moreno rav meir fishalis atzal, dim kein, my makshi b'shas al rav, maisha gvina mechalav, harav l'shitase. The min b'mino lo batel, havi chol v'sudar raisa. That if you hold min b'mino is not batel, then the chalav is going to be in isudar raisa, entirely different than gvina. Gam hamaskanas hashach, and that's the key point. Hamaskanas hashach le'el, this is the key point. That is shach himself in Simit Sadiches. Din bitul berov detalya be taima. Im kein achiyav eino mino. The chalav tamei v'tahar ein ta'am an shava. Min b'mino, min b'sheino mino is not about the look of it. It's not b'chazusa talya milsa. It's b'taima talya milsa. And therefore, it should be min, even war b'chazusa would be min b'sheino mino. But it's not b'shema, it's not by the shame that it's talu. It's talu in the tam. And the tam is not shaveh. So that's what the Shach writes in Simin Tzadiches, as opposed to the Ramah. If you remember, the Ramah said that it's b'shame, that it's based on what people call it. So okay, if you can go based on what people call it, they call this milk, they call that milk, maybe that's called min b'mino. But you're going to go based on what, not what people call it, but based on the tam is entirely different. So Nadvida writes that maybe the entire din of min b'she'eino mino, I think this is what we closed with last time, maybe the entire din that min b'she'eino mino requires shishim on a daraisa level, by an isser that you chayev malchus for, is only by an isser that you chayev malchus for. Meaning, maybe tam ke'ikr only applies to a strong isser. But if you have an isser kolosh, you have like a weaker type of isser, like a chatzi shir, for example, maybe then we were not going to say the principle of tam ke'ikr on a daraisa level. So it might be that in chinami, the chalav tamei, chalav tar, they're not the same. They're two different items. They taste different, and therefore, by the shach's definition, they're different items. It's min b'she'eino mino. Aye, so shouldn't you need shishim? How did you say it's batal berov? Says another view that you still don't need shishim, because the isser is not such a severe isser. The isser of yotzei, min atamei, being tamei of milk of a non-kosher animal, being non-kosher is an isser kolosh. It's not an isser chamer, it's not a very strong isser. And because it's an isser kolosh, so that's what Nadav Yehuda writes. Nadav Yehuda says, maybe in such a case, you don't need shishim. So if the concern is that the non-kosher milk is mixed, and you really only need rov, and the entire concern is only midrabanan. So if you look at the Pesachei Tshuva in Sivkat Nalev, he quotes this shach, Shekasuv af dechalav tamei hu aser Torah, mikamakal kivin dechalav tarchiver, tamei yaro, kima yamachlev kulo rubo minker, vinkenein wasel midrabanan, demin midrabat midaraisa. He quotes the shach, and he says, v'tema. But the Shach himself says that when determining what's called Mino, what's called Eino Mino, we look at the taste. So shouldn't you need Shisha Midaraisa? So Pesachei Tshuva points to that. Not Viuda Umatzasi, but Tshuva is not Viuda Tinyan, Chelek Arachaim, Simsam Chvav, Shetama Gam Kein Bazeh. He's bothered by the same Kasha on the Shach. So Pesachei Tshuva quotes in Nadav Yehuda, right? You don't have to be a bucky in all Nadav Yehuda. Pesachei Tshuva points into the important Nadav Yehuda. I once saw a tshuva in the Deber Tzina Rav in the Be'er Moshe, where someone asked him, "Are you allowed to quote in Nadav Yehuda if you only saw it from the Pesachei Tshuva? That you're giving off the impression that you're like a bucky in Tshuva's Nadav Yehuda, and you're not. And so you just learn Shulchan Aruch and you look at the bottom of the page, and Pesachei Tshuva points you to the Nadav Yehuda." So he said that if you look it up, you're allowed to quote it. Otherwise, you just have to say the Pesukei Teshuva says in the name of the Yehuda. Interesting. Okay. So he says, "Nedbiuda tamagam kein b'sefer kasev liyashiv mishum dahat the tam kein gadareis yalfinu mimishos amigirli of the chavim." I mean, dafka b'yisum to kavasaihu that it's only on yisurim that are like nazir and hagalas kelim, which are the sources of tam kein ikir, is like good chazara, right? The sources in the sugyas of tam kein ikir shem lavin sheish b'malkus. Those yisurim that we're dealing with are serious yisurim that have malkus. We don't apply the principle that's a great chiddush in Tam Kikr. We don't apply the principle of Tam Kikr even on Nisa Daraisa if it's a Nisa Daraisa that's not Malkus. If it's a Nisa Daraisa that's a lesser Issa Daraisa. Well, that's the chiddush of the Nadav Yehuda. So if you take a look in the Tshuvas Har Tzvi Simen Kuf Gimel, Tshuvas Har Tzvi writes as follows. He says, "V'zeh miyamim tamati al divrei haNadav Yehuda." He says, "I don't understand this Nadav Yehuda. What's the Nadav Yehuda telling me? That we never apply the principle of tam ki ikar on an iser that's not a chiyuv malkus." He says, "It's a Gemara. Avod zara lamed heyam and beis. The paruch shan. The Gemara over there asks, and this is the basis of our whole sugya. Chalav l'may nechushla. What am I worried about if I buy chalav from an ovid chavim? What's the concern? If your concern is that there's a tarovis of chalav tamei, so just try to make cheese. Then the Gemara says, oh no, but maybe there will be some chalav, maybe I don't want it for cheese making, maybe I want it for drinking. So the Gemara says, okay, so take some of it and try to make cheese. Take a little bit of it and try to make cheese. The kol ayin roe, ki riata de suk yuzu, right, we're looking for a way that you would be allowed to have chalavakum. The whole goal of the Gemara is to challenge why is it that there's an issue of chalavakum? There should be a way that you can tell that there's no problem. So the Gemara says, you could look at the color, you could try to make cheese out of it, you could try to make cheese out of some of it. Meaning the Gemara is challenging to try to find a way that it's going to be mutter, that you shouldn't have to worry about chalavakum. Says to see basic Frank, I have an idea. In Cain, I'm Ilo Parakadamrin Bialma, Vilatamik Fela. How come no one thought of that? The Gemara is looking for a way to find a heter. Just say, give it to a guy and ask him, what does this taste like? Does it taste like pig milk or does it taste like cow milk? And if he says, there's no tam of pig milk in this, this tastes like pure cow milk, it's going to be mutter. And the Ryan asks a similar kasha when it comes to the sugi of Gvina Sakam, which we'll get to later. Mizamucha kashach, the chalav tami b'chalav tar shavim b'taima. Says it must be that the shach is correct, that it's min b'mino, and they have the same tam. And that's why the Gemara never entertains the possibility that you could just ask a kfeila, because it must be that they have the same tam. And therefore, v'chashiv min b'mino. V'lchein lo shayach lo tami kfeila. V'tama l'nadib Yehuda, d'nakat she'enam shavim b'taima. How could the Nadav Yehuda say they don't have the same time? If they didn't have the same time, we would have had a kfeila tasted. This is a little strange, no? What's strange about this whole conversation?
I don't know if this is what Rabbi was thinking, but I mean, it could also be that they're close enough in days that a kfeila is not a bucky to know if it's
there. Okay, I was actually thinking the other way, meaning like, this is a Matzias question, no? Someone, Mistama, once tasted non-kosher milk. Find your local Balchuvi yeshiva. You know, go over and say, by the way, is crab really as good as they say? You know, like, and then ask him, and then what does pig milk taste like? Someone with stomach once had non-cow milk. They say that lobster is the thing that Balei Tshuva, you know, that people used to not keep kosher miss the most. To me, I can't even imagine. I would think like it would be the last thing I would want to try, but they say it's, you don't know what you're missing. Okay, maybe.
Meyer Stoudemire said it's the first thing he gave up.
It was lobster?
Yeah, because it's like he stumbled. Yeah,
he's very spiritual. Yeah, he's very into the Tamei mitzvah. We just did a gavus yesterday. Some of these people in Mamish are amazing. Like as Rabbi Ram was going through while the person was in the mikveh, going through, and you accept upon yourself that all the 13 principles of faith are binding, whatever, you know, like all of the person was just like bawling the whole time. It was the first time I ever had that. The person in the mikveh just bawling, just absolutely crying. So it would happen to have been a gir l'chumrah. There's a very strong possibility the person was Jewish beforehand. There was a gir l'chumrah that had to be done. So the mikveh attendant said to us afterwards, I'm sure this one was Jewish before, you know, like you saw the, such a neshama, you know. But, so that's what the Rishon Yisrael says, that he says that if it were really a different time, then it should have been a l'tamik feilah. Okay. Now, why did the Chazal see fit to make a gezeira for a concern that could only lead to a drabban? I mean, whatever your answer is, right? Meaning the Shach wants to suggest that even at worst case scenario, all your biggest concerns are there and are true, you violate this drabban, because it's Minbimino's Basel Brav anyway. So if meaning now we'll flip the question, right? If the worst case scenario is that you're only going to violate this drabban, why would they have made such an issue? So if you look in Taisus, Lam Benhem Rav Dibramaskum Bepnei, he said there must be a difference between sonin b'tzonin, where there's no Isser Torah, and a tarovus of chalav tameh, where before the mixture of the chalav tameh was asmi daraisa. Meaning, the concern is that an Isser daraisa was introduced. So even though in a chinami there would be bittel, but when the concern is that someone is going to put in an Isser daraisa, maybe that's enough to make a gzeira over such a thing. Okay, now, that's just background in terms of why we made such a gezeira and what the concern is, and is there really a daraisa risk or not a daraisa risk? Now, let's get down to it. Chalav is clearly very different than gvina, in the sense that gvina was a takana that was made with a low plug. We'll get to Bez Hashem tomorrow, probably, what the 6 or 8 different reasons for gvina sakum are. But once Gvina Sakam become Asr, it's a low plug. Not because of a chashash of milk of a non-kosher animal, but the maim is a davar tameh, like kevis nevela, and the Gemara says explicitly that even if the concern is that you're maim in bar kevis nevela, the concern by Gvina is that you're maim in bar kevis nevela, even when you know that the guy used asavim, you know that he used kosher rennet, it's still going to be Asr. It's a low plug. So any non-kosher cheese without a hechsher is vaday Asr. Now, you'll note that among the frum cheeses, and that's why you can't really get cheese. I'm not talking about soft cheeses now. Soft cheese is a different story. But you can't really get cheese, in a non-kosher supermarket. The only cheese companies that you can buy cheese from are frum companies, because it's just the way it is. Otherwise, it's going to be Gvina Sakum. Because Gvina Sakum has that little plug. It's much harder to get around the Gvina Sakum. I mean, you would literally, we'll see soon, tomorrow maybe, that you need the Jew to actually be making the cheese in order to avoid Gvina Sakum, or a Jew to own the company. So that's why if you want to buy kosher cheese, it's Ha'olam, it's Miller's, it's something like that, right? Those are you don't find non-kosher cheese companies. Now, there's a difference between Ha'olam and Miller's, at least used to be. I think it still is, that Miller's cheese is not Chalav Yisrael, but it's Gvinas Yisrael. Meaning that's an important distinction. Gvinas Yisrael is not the same as Chalav Yisrael. Rav Moshe's whole heter is only by whatever the heter is, which we'll discuss soon, is Chalav Yisrael. Gvinas Yisrael is still an absolute requirement. So even the milk that they use to make the cheeses, meaning what does it mean it's not Chalav Yisrael? By Miller's they'll use non Chalav Yisrael milk in the cheese making. Whereas by Ha'olam, they'll use only Chalav Yisrael milk in making the cheese. So if you're makron on Chalav Yisrael, but they're both makron Gvinas Yisrael. But if you're makron on Chalav Yisrael, you'll get one type and not the other. Even the sources of the milk are totally different. The milk that we get for milk is mostly in our area, in the New York area, is mostly from farms that are in New Jersey. All of the kosher cheeses come from farms in Wisconsin. It's entirely different. They come from different places because they feed the cows differently to produce more butterfat in the milk, which is better for cheese making, which Bez Hashem tomorrow will discuss the cheese making process and why that is, that they need a different kind, that different quality milk or a different kind of milk. I even heard, I'm not sure if this is true, maybe someone can confirm, that the concern of trefos that we have with the milk, which we discussed, I don't think we're going to get back into that, right? We once had a shear, did we do that? We discussed the Chafer's concern, yeah, so we already discussed this, I'm not going to get back into that, but I think that that concern is only on our milking cows, because they only do that surgery and treat them and feed with, in such a way that, that they develop Chafer's on milking cows, that row of milking cows. But cows that they milk for cheese making, it could be that that milk is not going to have that same concern of Chafer's. So another Eitzah for Rav Shechter, other than getting like one cow from you know that that he can keep in his backyard in Washington Heights or something, the better Eitzah might be to import you know milk from one of these cheese companies, have someone over at Ha'olam or something send him milk from their suppliers in their cheese making. Now, the big question about Chalav Akum, even before Moshe, is whether Chalav Akum is a low plug, right? Gvina Sakum is the finish in the Gemara that it's a low plug. Is Chalav Akum a low plug? And therefore, even knowing that the animals milked are all cows is not good enough? Or is it not a low plug? And as long as you know that all the animals that were milked are cows, it is good enough. And the discussion really starts with the Lashon of the Mechaber here in Sif Aleph. Right? The Mechaber says, Yicholev Bebeso, V'yisol Yoshev Mibachutz, Im Yadua She'en Lo Davar Tamei Be'edro, Mutter, Afilu En Yisol Yachol Yeros B'Shah Shul Cholvo. Even if the Jew can't see while you're milking, but the Jew is sitting there, that's going to be Mutter. Just knowing that only kosher animals are there, that's adequate. And the question is, how do you interpret that that din in Shulchan Aruch? And we mentioned this the other day. It's either that it's clearly not a low plug, because the Jew only needs to stand outside the door, but he doesn't have to see it. So, or you can say it is a low plug, because knowledge isn't enough, since you have to know that there's no davar tamei there. The Pri Chadash clearly assumes like the first side. And he said that the minhag in Amsterdam is to use all the milk, and only, you know, super medaktikim are careful. But our minhag is to be makel, says the Pri Chadash, that we assume that it's not a low plug, that it's all that as long as you know it's going to be mutter. Kesev Mishnah says it is a low plug. Rav Vaz quotes of Mordechai that it is a low plug based on the same halacha, that if a Jew has to be sitting outside, it seems that yediyah is not good enough, that you need Yisrael Ro'ehu. It's just that sitting outside is good enough to be called Yisrael Ro'ehu, but having anything short of Yisrael Ro'ehu is going to be a problem. But I know for sure, I know it's only cows. It doesn't matter, it's a low plug. So that's a major machlokas achronin, whether the Yisrael Chalav is a low plug or not. So the Mechaber says that if you can see it when you stand, even if there's a davar tamei be'edro, it's mutter because there's no mirtas. So that's why the shach and sifkat and dalid, because there is mirtas rather, meaning as soon as you stand up, the guy is going to be caught red-handed, so he's not going to want to be caught, you know, milking the wrong animal. So just the fact that if you were to stand up and see him, so the Mechaber says that's enough. So Shach and Sivkat and Dalid writes, Ulefi zeh nireh, dafil Yotzev Nichnas mutter. That even Yotzev Nichnas is good enough, because Yotzev Nichnas is enough to create Mirtas. Kivit the time when we shum to Mirtas. Vachar min kaman sim kuf yuchas, reishim kuf chavtas. Tabiniyach hov yukhav meitzel dvarim shim huchlufu yesh ve misr Torah, mutter bi Yotzev Nichnas bi time of the Mirtas. That if you leave an Ovid Chavim together with things that if they were to be switched out would be an Isr Torah, it's mutter with the Yotzei v'Nichnas because that creates mirtas. Came cause of precious. If Gimel v'Hosef do adin, afilu einu Yoshev tamid el Yotzei v'Nichnas v'Yoshev shari. Kol shkin Yotzei v'Nichnas makom achala. Fine. Yad Ephraim also says explicitly like the Pri Chadash. Right? Yad Ephraim is right here on the page. He says einu mishum takana v'geder el sveka da raisu mishum tarovas chalav tamei ukvaru iduli la'achar shachal v'hagamal v'nishar be'en lachluchas mimenu. And the machmirim on this issue of whether it's considered a low plug or not, there are a number of machmirim. Chachmas Adam is machmir. Chachmas Adam is machmir. There are chashulchan is machmir. There are chashulchan is unusually strong in his lashon to be machmir, that this is absolutely a low plug, and then it doesn't matter what you think you know or what you know. And he says, "V'nei al kol panim nisparit, d'ufi das kol rabbeinu she'evenu, afilu b'mukomus l'shich klal davar tamei bi'ir." Even if you live in a city that doesn't have anything but cows, bovin chein chashash tarov eschalav tamei, and there's no chashash of tarov eschalav tamei, mikol makom asur kashay Yisrael lo amar al kol panim mibachutz b'shas akaliva. You still need Yisrael omed there. Oshay yotzei v'nechnas, or at least the yotzei v'nechnas, v'day afilu b'katan v'katana. We'll get to that, or we got to that already, and it's good enough to even have a child. And the Yisr is lo plug in any situation. Udulo ke'echad migdolei achron. It doesn't even mention him by name. Who's he talking? Unlike the pri chadash. Sherech bezel lahakel lishlos chalav shalom b'makom shein sham david tamei or shurachah kamtziu she'achlov l'satamei. In a place where the pri chadash is make when there's no david tamei or when it's like unlikely. Or she'achlov tamei biyoker, or let's say the chalav tamei is very expensive. Vevi raya meizik gedolim she'kil b'chi agavna. And he brought a raya that gedolim were makel on this. Umisibazu yesh harbe mispartzim bisuzem bedoreinu bavanoseinu arabim. Sounds like a song about married women covering their hair, right? The Aruch HaShulchan uses these similar lashonos. That nebuchlo aleinu, we have this terrible pirtza. Kashari'inu v'shamanu mitolim esatzman beizet tamil chacham shasakein. And everyone's relying on this tamil chacham that did this. And oh, there's a chashav of tamil chacham that wasn't worried about it. V'lo yadu v'lo yavinu shechamurim divrei sofer mi divrei Torah. They don't realize dinim d'rabban are even more chamer than dinim in Torah. V'atamil chacham shasakein avono yisa. And the Talmud Chacham that everyone's using as their heter, he's going to have that on his plate. L'achar be'ev ha'esrim. V'kiv sh'nifsa v'isr b'tur v'shulchar v'kol g'dali achronim. And once all the poskim say that it's asr, mi yuchal lahei is panav l'mali taivas nafsho. Who's going to, because of his own taivas, to be able to have Hershey's chocolate? Is it really worth it? When you're going to have that Hershey's chocolate, I'm just thinking about that because I just ate Hershey's chocolate. But who's going to put that Hershey's chocolate in their mouth, thinking to themselves that, oh, it's okay because some rabbi did it? V'shomer nafsho yircha kesatzmo mizeh. Is Rav Moshe Machmir a mekel? Is he old? It's a low plug or not a low plug?
It's not a low plug.
Rav Moshe, so that's the answer I was hoping someone would say. That's incorrect. Rav Moshe is machmir on this issue. Not that I want you to be incorrect. I'm just saying to understand Rav Moshe, meaning to just draw. Rav Moshe holds it's a low plug. Rav Moshe holds it's a low plug. That you need to have Yisrael and Re'ehu. You need Eidus of Yisrael. He has a different heter. Meaning, he doesn't hold like the Pri Chadash. He holds like the Aruch HaShulchan. And all the Gedolei HaPoskim hold that it's a low plug. He's mekel anyway for a different reason. And we'll get to that in a moment. The Aruch HaShulchan tells, and we discussed a little bit, we'll explain it a little more clearly, hopefully. The Aruch HaShulchan tells a story that there was this Rav in the city where one of the Bali Batim was mekel when he traveled, and he would drink heavy cream every day, and then one day he was drinking in the local, Starbucks or whatever. He was drinking this heavy cream. He ordered, Frappuccino heavy cream or whatever it was that he was ordering. And he wondered where the store, the small little store, it was just a kiosk, where they got so much heavy cream from. And he didn't see any cows around, so he asked the storekeeper. And the storekeeper said, yeah, I melt animal brains into the milk, and that's how it has such fatty milk. So it turns out he was eating treifas and basar b'chalav and all of those things. So generally, stories don't really pass in halachos, but the Aruch HaShulchan brings it, for emphasis, to buttress his point. And then he adds a yesod, which we mentioned the other day, that aside from the taimim haniglim for gzeres chachamim, there are also taimim hanistarim. There are also always hidden reasons for gzeres chachamim, and chachamim made gzeres chalavakum. We can't say, oh, but if I address their concern, the specific concern that the Gemara identifies, then I get around the problem. No, low plug. Yeah.
Having Yosef and Echnos would be sufficient enough supervision?
What do you mean, not supervision?
I mean,
if you have Yosef and Echnos, it'll be Mirtas.
I'm saying, I have a timer. I'll go in every 15 minutes. So the guy who's working knows every 15 minutes.
No, that's not Yosef and Echnos. Yosef and Echnos means at random intervals. Right? If it's predictable, I was listening to an interview. There was a, David Lichtenstein interviewed a guy who gives hashkacha in a lot of vegan restaurants. And it's pretty adua that it's not the most reliable hashkacha in the world. Unless it not be. And so he was challenging him on a lot of the issues that come up in these vegan restaurants. So he said, but the places are all open on Shabbos. What are you doing on Shabbos? So the guy wanted to show off how from he was. I would never walk in on Shabbos. They all know that I would never walk into the place on Shabbos. He's like, that's a problem. If they know that you would never walk in on Shabbos and Yantiv, they could do whatever they want on Shabbos and Yantiv. It is important to create a sense of mirtus. It's important that you come in an unpredictable intervals, and that it not be so rare that you know the person has like this sense of total security. Meaning, I just got a call from a Rav in somewhere in Long Island, and he told me that he was asked about a particular store that happens to have a branch near where I live also, and and he said that the store over there is under a particular hashkacha, not the Vadakashas of the 5,000, under a particular hashkacha, and he used to tell people that the mashkiach in the store is very, very good. So even though the Rav HaMachshir is Yadua, that it's not so good, the mashkiach is excellent, so you can trust that everything is okay. So this Rav told me that he just met the mashkiach, and the mashkiach told him, I quit. So he said, why did you quit? He said, because I've been giving hashkach in the store for a year, and I've never met the Rav HaMachshir. He never once walked into the place. I've never even met him, so what kind of hashkach is he giving? He's just relying that he doesn't even know me, and he's relying that everything I'm doing is good. You need someone looking over your shoulder. Anyway, so it has to create a sense of nearness. The Aruch HaShulchan adds interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan says, and I heard in America they drink pig milk. There are a lot of people drinking pig milk. I don't know if that was true. I think they said a lot of things about America when you were in Europe. I don't know if people ever really drank pig milk. It turns out pig milk, I googled it, to try to see like what the story is with pig milk. It turns out pig milk is not very good. According to the internet, given that humans consume every other part of the pig with slobbering glee, it's a nice expression, slobbering glee, it's a wonder why the thought of drinking pig's milk is gag-inducing. Taste-wise, it's not as though it's especially rancid. As one pig farmer told New York food critic Robert something, it's more watery. Pig milk is really gamey. You know how goat milk is? I like it, but lots of people don't. Pig milk tastes even stronger than that. It's also much harder to get milk from a pig because they need to be lying down. So that's also an interesting thing. To get milk from a pig, a cow stands up, and you can milk a cow while it's standing up. The pig, if you go online, you look at the pictures, the pig is lying down as it's nursing. And it's also very dangerous to milk a pig, because those things are strong and they'll fight. So if you milk a cow and the cow's not so happy with you, you'll get a little bruise. You milk a pig and the pig is not happy with you, you'll likely die. So people don't really want to mess with pigs. Okay, so I don't know if the Aruch HaShulchan, if it was true or not true that people in America drank pig milk at that time. Certainly nowadays no one drinks pig milk. Then the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer is quoted in the Pesukei Teshuvah in Sifkat and Gimel. And he says, Pesukei Teshuvah writes, Zayin Teshuvah Chassam Sofer, Kuf Zayin Sheherich Lavi Rayos Tuchol of Nesah B'minyin, Ki Yayin Nesach, U'mishamach Higam B'mekom Ustein Shum Chashash Chol Tami Kol Shein Yisrael Rei Wasur, D'lo Karad Vaz B'ri Chadash. Unlike the Radvaz B'ri Chadash, I think that there's no low plug, there is a low plug. And then the Chassam Sofer goes and pushes even further with a greater chiddush. Va'af im lu yehe halacha karadvaz. And if he's right, the Radvaz is right, that it's not a low plug, that it's not included in the Yisr. Kvar kiblu avosenu aleim kosa deya de machmir. We know that traditionally no one ever drank this stuff. I mean, it was kiblu avosenu. Va'asra al b'nei Ashkenaz medina. He says it becomes a neder daraisa because if it was really mutter and we refrain from it, if we refrain from midin, if the machmirim are correct that it's a low plug, so when you drink chalavakum it's a nisr derabana. But if the mekilim are correct that there's no low plug, then when you drink chalavakum it's a nisr daraisa, a violation of a neder, right? That's quite a chiddush. The Satmar Rebbe somewhere in Divrei Yoyel has a tshuva about that Chassam Sofer where he doesn't like that idea that it's a violation of the Din Neder, that it was never taken as a Neder. He doesn't think that that's true. Now, what if it's not shayach to milk anything but cows? In the OU document on I have to send out a new set of OU document, yeah?
I think when we asked Rosh Hashanah, he said that when it's a minhag betaros then it doesn't count as a Neder. That was his
on that Chassam Sofer, right? Meaning that people didn't drink it because they thought it was Asr, but really it was Mutter. So Rabelski has a tshuva in an OU document about a davar ma'anyein, he says, that they showed him. Eich she'michadash himtziu chaliva al yidei machsher elektroni b'lisiyo shel bnei adam. There are machines that milk the cows. And they wanted to be machsher, using that machine, all the milk in that area, and to treat it like Chalav Yisrael, even though Jews aren't operating the machines and Jews aren't present. Why? Ki I esher lahachnis ba'machshir behem acheres mivad habakar hol v'hum matukan rak lebakar b'levad v'harobat lo yifal lahotzi chalav mishum balchayacher. The udders of a pig are not the same as the udders of a cow, and the machine is built to only be able to milk cows. You try to hook up any other animal to it, and you're not going to get any milk from it. Yetame otar. Even a kosher animal, you try to put a goat on the hook up to the machine, it won't work. So maybe therefore it should be Chalav Yisrael, because there's no chashash. After all, the whole concern is taroves. Muvan shebizman hazeh b'medina zu achshash rochel hu, ulam kol inyan zehirus b'chalav Yisrael banoy al zeh achshash lo pachas lo yosem. V'hashli yesh lishol, heich huktan achshash al yidei pulas harobat. He says, I don't understand. The whole achshash anyway is such so far-fetched. They're really going to put pig milk in the cow milk? It's more expensive. It's not as good. They have nothing to gain from it. Right? Why in the world would they do that? And yet, there's still a din called chalav akum. So, I don't understand, says Rebelsky, how have you solved the problem just because they no longer milk cows in the classical way? Maybe he's got the robot milking all the cows, and he's got a little pig there, and he's milking the pig. Bidiyuk, kosuch shashaya b'li a robot, lo pachos lo yoser, v'shuv yarvuhu, v'chol v'kosher, v'ez shmir yesh negedah. Yesh negedzeh. And he says, this is not like a closed-circuit television. Closed-circuit television, I mean, we have cameras there. He says, Kisham ro etavid mashem esrachish v'achalo ro in klal. So that's what he signed. Chav hei tevis tavshin samachay, New York. Dalit shvat tavshin samachay, says Rav Shechter, right, we assume that a Nachri is not going to just try to drive us crazy and just to stop. I mean, if he benefits from it, so he'll make a switch, but not just to drive us crazy. Why would you need a Yisrael Yoshim Bechutz if there's no Dover Tami Bedra? Maybe he happens to have a lot of extra pig milk, but he's got nothing to do with. So it is a toelis for him. That's the concern. I understand it's a very far-fetched concern, but that's the concern. I don't know what the toelis will be. But there is a toelis. The concern is that he might do it for a toelis, not that he's going to do it lachis. And then Rabelsky is 100% correct. So the fact that you can only mechanically, that in the major dairy farms, they're only mechanically milking the cows, neither Rabelsky nor Shechter thinks that makes an ounce of difference in the din of Chalav Yisrael. Okay, so where are we right now? Right now we have one machlokas. Low plug or not low plug, and the only kula you're going to have is the Pri Chadosh, who says that there's no low plug, and therefore, since it's not reasonable to be concerned about it, we know that there's no no chalav there, so that there's no chalav bein metmeya there, so it's going to be mutter.
How do we know, back in the time of Chazal, what the market value of the pig and the
chief? Yeah, right. We don't know exactly what the toelis was for them back then. Yeah. I don't know, but there must have been some toelis. That's what I'm
saying. That's what I'm saying, Akasha, because maybe it does make a difference nowadays. It makes it even more far-fetched that nobody likes it anymore. It's more expensive.
Meaning there's now. No, we can't even imagine the toelis. Right. Maybe they knew what the toelis was. We can't imagine. Maybe, but we don't know. You know, or maybe there was very little chance of a toelis back then also, and they still lost it. Then comes Ramesha. Now, Ramesha is not the same as a pre-Chadosh. Ramesha is in Yardei Chelakalot. He has three consecutive tshuvas on the topic, and it's not just like one-liners, like, because there was a lot of pushback, as you might imagine, and he had to defend himself. And it's also interesting that he ends each tshuva by saying that a bal nefesh should be machmir, I was driving this morning when you sent that piece from a force safe. I didn't get the, what did he say?
Oh, he did stark monster.
About what? That they should be machmir, like the, because
yeah,
everyone should be a bal nefesh.
Yeah, and that basically every single time Rav Moshe discusses it, he's like, this is super bidyevet. And he brought up a story where yeshiva called up Rav Moshe and said, it's a lot cheaper to have Kol Stam, and he
right,
said,
the government
isn't,
provides it.
Yeah, and he
yeah.
said, isn't your whole institution based off of chinuch? How could you possibly give them Kol Stam if it's based off of chinuch, which is improper chinuch?
Right. But for every story like that, you know, there are a lot of stories.
That was in the Igros Moshe itself.
Right, that Shaila was in the Igros Moshe. Yeah.
It also says you can make it a lot cheaper within that.
Right, right. I know there are definitely family members that are makbit to have chol of stam. You know, kibbutz nafak mi pume. I know one particular enikol of Ramesha that his wife is makbit on chol of Yisrael, and he keeps chol of stam in his, his fridge because kibbutz nafak mi pume. This was the psak of the Zayda, so he definitely makes a point. Even though the Zayda said that you know, bal nefesh mi machmir. Okay, Gabe, that's something. I can tell you this. My brother told me that when Rav Nata came to Palo Alto, so Rav Nata, you know who Rav Nata Greenblatt is? We've discussed him. So Rav Nata is Adam Gadol Ad Ma'od. He's probably the biggest Talmud of Rav Moshe that's alive today, for sure. When he came to Palo Alto, he was going to give a shir in the Kailo there. Because he's close with my brother, so one of the chevra said with Rav like a coffee. He said, "Yeah, please." So they were pouring him coffee. They said, "Chol Yisrael milk." He said, "Ah." He's like, "What are you talking about? Like, what are you chol Yisrael milk for?" So that was his reaction. Okay, so what was Ramesha based on? So we said Ramesha is not like the Pri Chadash. He has these three consecutive tshuvas, and he says it is a low plug. But he has a chiddush in general that Eidei Yediya are as good as Eidei Re'iya. So we started to discuss this last time. That how it normally comes up with shailus of witnessing of kiddushin. Right, the most common case of witnessing kiddushin, you're asked to be an eid kiddushin, and you're right there, and you're taking your job seriously, and you see the chassan with the ring in his hand, the kala sticking out her right finger, and you hear the chassan say, "Aram b'gadash li'bitavah zav kiddash Moshe v'Yisrael," and then snap, 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 you blink, and the next thing you know, the ring is on the kala's finger. Or the photographer shoves you out of the way. This happened to me more than once. I was like, "Get out of the way, I need an angle over here." Like, yeah, so do I. You know, my angle's more important than your angle, I think. So you, next second you see it, you see the ring on her finger. So that's Eidei Yediya. You know exactly what happened. You know that of course the chassan gave the ring to the kala. So Meshal, Eidei Yediya is good by kiddushin and by really everything except for dinei nefashos. Right? What's the case of dinei nefashos? Gemara Sanhedrin talks about. Right? The guy chases another. You see one guy with a knife chasing another guy into the room. He's screaming, "I'm going to kill you!" And then they go into the room, and you run into the room afterwards. You see a dead guy on the floor with stab wounds. The fellow that was running with the knife, with the bloody knife in his hand, and he's not going to be chayv misa. Because it's Eidei Yediya without Eidei Re'iya. It's not a good eidus. So even by Arayos it works, right? Meaning we have Heinein Eidei Yuchad, Heinein Eidei Bia is Eidei Yediya without Eidei Re'iya. The Gemara in Ksubis tells us that there was a case that the Nitba once had to swear, had to take a shvua. And Rabbah's wife said, "No, don't let that guy swear, he's a liar." So they switched the Shavua over to the Toveya. It's in the Nuns, I think, in Shavua, it's like the Dalit or something. So then the Gemara tells another story that Rav Papa warned Rava, "Don't let that guy swear." Another case, another guy, who Rava's Bezdin was going to make a Shavua. And Rav Papa said, "Oh, you don't want that guy to swear, he's a liar." And Rava said, "Oh, Rav Papa's only an Eid Echad, I'm not going to listen to Rav Papa." And he continued to be Mechayev the Shavua. So the Gemara says, "I don't understand. You believe your wife more than you believe Rav Papa?" Meaning, I'm sure they're both wonderful people. But why do you believe the wife to pass on the guy? She's also only Neid Echad. Are you not going to believe Rav Papa? So Ramesh understands the Gemara's answer. You have to look at it carefully. That's what the Gemara's answer is. But Ramesh understands that the Gemara's answer is that Rava knew with 100% certainty that his wife never lies. He lives with his wife. He spent his whole life with his wife. So he knows that his wife never lies. he knows Rav Papa is a geshmaki guy in the Beis Medrash. He loves talking to him and learning. He seems like an erlich guy. He seems like a wonderful guy. But he doesn't know. He doesn't know for sure. He doesn't deal with Rav Papa in his personal life. He doesn't pay taxes with Rav Papa. You know, he does that with his wife when they're figuring out. He knows that his wife doesn't lie. With Rav Papa, it's just an assumption that probably is a Talmud Chacham. I was talking to a very chashuva Talmud Chacham recently and about someone who I know to be a dishonest person. And this chashuva Talmud Chacham takes this person's word for everything. I said, he's a dishonest person. He said, I talked to him in learning. He's a chashuva Talmud Chacham and an erlich yid. I said, Chashuva Talmud Chacham, yes, an Erlich Yid, I could tell you, Bevada, he's not. The person's not an Erlich Yid. But sometimes you talk to someone in learning and you're so impressed with how strong they are in learning. So it's not always true. Halavai should always be true. But not everyone is a Chashuva Talmud Chacham, is an Erlich Yid. So I'll leave out the details. But apparently, Yediya is good enough everywhere except for Dinei Nefashos. So if Maisha had a Shaila, about a couple in Russia who lived, it is a landmark tshuva that Rav Meisha had. They had children who were communists. The older couple was, they were from, but their kids were communists. And the children were taking care of the parents. So they wanted to know, can they eat in their children's homes? Meaning the children, they were living with their children now, the children don't keep kosher, but the children said, we're going to keep a kosher home for our parents. You know, but can they trust that what the children are feeding them is in fact kosher? Because they know that their kids respect them, and they know that their kids would never feed them something trade. So Moshe says, if you know for sure that your kids wouldn't lie to you, you can trust them, just like Rava relied on his wife. His wife said that it is, so it is, and that's it. He knows that she's not a liar. Comes up all the time. Now, Baruch Hashem, Akshar Dara comes out the other way. Right? Usually it's the parents that keep not kosher, and the children, or Balei Tshuva, that keep kosher and are still living in the parents' home, and they want to know, can they eat in the parents' home? So it depends on the relationship. Sometimes the parents are not into this whole religion thing, and they're vehemently against it, but very often the parents are very proud of the children, and they know the kids have Bechira Chavshis to make their own life choices, and this is a choice they made, and they respect the kids, and they would never want to do something to upset the child. And therefore, you have a yediya, and Rav Meisha also says it's very important. Like people who work with Balei Tshuva, that psak of Rav Meisha is very, but it's based on the same thing, right? It's based on the yesod that Eidei Yediya is good enough. So he says, even though Eidei Yediya is good, there's a machloka specifically by Kiddushin whether it works or not. Because by Kiddushin, why by Kiddushin would there be a machloka? So I would think by Kiddushin it should be like anything else. So what makes Kiddushin different? So we know the most basic lamdus of getting the Kiddushin is that Kiddushin doesn't only need Eidus, it's Eidus L'Kiyum Adavar. It's not Eidus L'Bir Adavar, it's Eidus L'Kiyum. Right? You have that fundamental distinction by Shtaros also, right? So there's a Shtar Raya and a Shtar Kinyin. So there's Eidim, that's Eidus Birur, and Eidus L'Kiyum Adavar. You even have by a Beis Din like that. Sometimes Beis Din is Mevarer what the Halacha is, and sometimes Beis Din is just Midin Beis Din, right? To be Eimo Sif Na Liyar Va'azara Zalb Sanhedrin Shal Shem Be'adol. The first Mishnah in Mesech Sanhedrin, the first paragraph of Sanhedrin. What are they paskin? There's a Din Torah, and they're figuring out what the Pesach Halacha is to be Mosef and Liyar Va'azara. No, it's not paskining. It's just to do something that has such importance. You need a Beis Din. So that's a Beis Din L'Kiyum Adavar. It makes it happen. Without a Beis Din, it's not going to be able to happen. So you have such a thing. Remember Rabbi Hecht told me, Rabbi Hecht used to be a dean here in the college, and he was my 11th grade Rebbe in MTA. He used to teach an MTA shiur in the morning, and was a dean in the afternoon, and he was the pre-law advisor also. So I remember when I applied to law school, I went into his office to talk to him about it, and he was my 11th grade Rebbe. So you know, I wanted to know which law schools I should apply to based on my scores and whatever. So he looks at me and he says, aren't you supposed to go into chinuch? I was like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I didn't, you know, like I didn't even, I felt very put on the spot. He goes, I'm just joking, you can do whatever you want. But ultimately, I guess I do go into chinuch. But Rabbi Hef told us that his first day in NYU Law School, he's a graduate of NYU Law School, he said he finished second in his class in NYU Law School. He said that the girl who finished ahead of him had various relationships with professors, but whatever he had here. but he said that his first day in law school, the professor presented two cases. It was contract law. It presents the two cases. So what's the, you know, why is the case law this way in this contract and that way in that contract? And he said, he looked at me and he said, that's pashut. That's a shtar raya, that's a shtar kinyan. They're two totally different shtaros. I thought he was a genius. Right? So you have Eidei Kiddushin, because it's Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar. So Ramesha argues that the reason that maybe Eidei Yediyah is not good enough for Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar is because Eidus L'Kiyum HaDavar needs to be Eidim at that moment. Meaning at the moment of the Kiddushin. Yes, you're Eidei Yediyah, but when do you know about it? You only know about it afterwards. You see the ring on her finger, you go, oh, okay, it must have happened. But at the moment that it's happening, you don't know that it happened. So you don't have that Yediyah yet. So that's what Ramesha argues. Yediyah b'shas maisa either is for sure adequate. The question is when it's not b'shas maisa. So based on that, Ramesha says we have Eidei Yediyah that the government supervises milk and sees to it that it's only cow milk. In the second tshuva, Ramesha writes that even though it's only a small fine, because that's where they push back on him, they said it's a $25 fine if they're caught with something that they shouldn't have. Is that really going to scare them? So he says, look, companies are conscious of their reputation and their integrity. A $25 fine, but a company gets a fine that they're mixing in, they're contaminating their milk with pig milk or whatever, that's not going to be good for them. They're going to lose millions from that, meaning that they will ruin their whole reputation. In fact, when President Reagan took office in 1980, he cut back, small government, Republican, he cut back on the FDA inspectors. So that was another argument against Ramesha, that now that you have a Republican president, that it should, and he cut back on all the inspectors, so maybe you don't even have real idea. There were only three inspectors on the entire East Coast that somehow were supposed to inspect all the farms. Then when President Obama, decades later, when President Obama took office, all the inspectors came back, big government, so is the Torah a Democrat or a Republican? So I'm not going to make a comment on that, but in this case, the Torah is more of a Democrat, probably. Then Ramesh has another tshuva where he quotes a tshuva Chassam Sofer about a Rav and his Gabbai who arranged a Kiddushin at a wedding, meaning they showed up to the wedding, so the Rabbi said to the Gabbai, you'll be in an Eid Kiddushin together with me, and then they were in the wagon on the way back from the wedding and they were saying, oh, wasn't that a beautiful wedding, and the Gabbai said, yeah, I can't believe my cousins were Zuch, it's such a beautiful wedding. the Rav said, well, what are you talking about? And he said, yeah, he's his cousin. So the Rav wanted to know. He asked some Sofer. He said, to go back and make him do the wedding over again is going to be such bizyanus that, that the whole thing was not right the first time. So the Chassam Sofer says, no, it's not such a bizyan. You correct a mistake. That's what you're supposed to do. If you made a mistake, you correct the mistake. But he says, don't worry about it. It's a good Kiddushin anyway, because there were hundreds of people there. So the stamina in the room, you have Eidus. So Moshe said that the halacha is like the Chassam Sofer, that's Eidus Yediyah. Again, Chassam Sofer was very stark against the Pri Chadash. But that Moshe says, what do you do with me? I'm also stark against the Pri Chadash. I don't think, I think it's a low plug. I think you need Eidus. But Eidei Yediyah is also Eidus. And Chassam Sofer also thinks Eidei Yediyah is Eidus. Yeah?
Can we just say Eidei Yediyah is the time where it wouldn't be applicable as a Kiddushin?
Kiddushin is machlokas. Kiddushin is machlokas, but some stuff is made. Yeah. Now there is a discussion about Chinese milk. There's an OU document that apparently there was a scandal that happened with melamine. I don't know what that is. I guess something not kosher. I don't know. In Chinese milk, and members of the Chinese government admitted that they have no control over the collection and processing of the milk in China. So the shaila came up. Whether they, whether you can trust, you can rely on Ramesh's tshuva for Chinese milk. So Rav Shechter wrote Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Nitzav and Tavshin Samches. Korona bechadoshos shenatzigim mshalas tzin hodu sheyesham hefkerus nora'a. There's a total hefkerus in the milking companies, and the mshala is not able to be mefakeach aleim kedabayi. Rabelsky didn't take a position, but he said that more information should be obtained, and And at the time of the Shaila, there were only two OU companies in China. They used Chinese milk, and they both make. They're both visited by the rabbinic field representative, and he said that there's much tighter control on Chinese foods that are exported. So since it was exports, you don't have to worry about it as much. There has not been a case of such a thing in any Chinese product that was ever exported to America. Within China, if you can go to China and you drink the milk, then maybe in a chinami you have a problem with it. But outside of China, you're not going to have a problem with it. Okay, so that is as far as Cholva. Rav Soloveitchik had a slightly more nuanced, but a more elaborate approach. So maybe tomorrow we'll start with Rav Soloveitchik's approach, and then we'll get to the Ramah. The Ramah in Sif Aleph has a couple of very important comments over here. And we'll see. Hopefully, Baruch Hashem will be able to even start. Maybe we'll be able to even start Gavina. But okay, we'll see. All right, have a good day.
Right.
Yeah.
Ramosha always says this is that.